I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So as you guys know, aside from the podcast, the other BravoTV.com project I'm always super amped to tell you about is Life After Bravo. And there's a new episode out. It's with Charisse.
Okay. So you've been dropping hints a lot lately about, I've been rewatching Potomac. Now we know why.
And that's exactly it. Like going back from the beginning and combing through the episodes, which I highly suggest everyone does. But if you don't have time for that, Charisse revisits a lot of those really memorable moments with her. And oh my God, like she talked a lot about the ex-husband and shed a lot of light on that whole situation, because when she was on the show, it was like, she was always sort of vague about it. And, but she really got into it in this episode.
She was a little flip-floppy at one point too, right? Didn't she close out a reunion being like, actually, Andy, I haven't been totally honest.
Right. And then was like, we have not talked at all. Yeah, she talks about that. It's really good. Highly suggest viewing. So we'll drop a link in the description.
Did she have any thoughts on this season of Potomac that came up?
Yes.
Oh.
And particularly the Monique Candace situation that happened last season.
Yes, I do remember that.
Okay, so this other exciting thing that's happening is Bravo is having a virtual bazaar just in time for the holiday season. So basically, they're putting all of your favorite Bravo celebrity brands in one place.
It's really cool, actually. It's basically this interactive shopping experience, and you can shop all of your favorite Bravo celebrity brands. We're talking Candy Burris, Wendy Asefo. Yes, the Onya candles are available. Meredith Marks, Jill Zarin, and of course, they have Kyle and Amanda's lover boy.
Ooh! All right, so you can visit Bazaar. That's BAZAAR. BravoTV.com and then virtually stroll through and do some shopping.
I mean, it's the perfect place to look for stuff if you have Bravoholics in the family.
Exactly.
Okay, what are we recapping today?
So Real Housewives of Potomac reunion part one, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I think you know what we need to talk about there. And Winter House.
Plus, we have an interview with Robin Dixon from Real Housewives of Potomac about the first part of the reunion.
All right, Potomac.
Okay, can we take a step back and just figure out what did Mia have done? And do we really care?
You know, it's so funny. My first note is, can we back it up and talk about how G was walking around the strip club with no shoes?
I mean, that really, really doesn't surprise me.
It's like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? By the way, any sort of club, you should not be walking around barefoot, because it's like sticky from all the drinks being spilled, sticky from who knows what. I just think you need your shoes.
Also, isn't that the rule at any establishment? Yeah. No shirt, no shoes, no service. But I mean, does that not apply?
He helped build out the champagne room or VIP, whatever. So like, he must have been dropping so much money. They were just like, do whatever you want.
Right, right.
But back to your point, do we care what Mia did?
No.
Not really. Like, I also thought it was crazy that all the women were like, well, why would you get your vagina tightened? What? Is this the first time we've heard that? Like, it's not. Like, you know, I don't know. Maybe she wants to feel 15 again. I don't know.
Well, it's also interesting that Candace kept saying she's lying. Well, she's a liar. And everyone's like, well, about what? And that was what Candace brought up. Well, what she had done to her vagina.
That's like not the smoking gun for me, I have to say. I will say in general, Mia came in hot.
Yeah.
Like she just seems to not have really any friends there except for Karen.
It's true. I mean, I wonder if going into this day, she felt that way, because it did already just from part one come across like that.
Right. The part that upset me that had to do with Mia was that the women were saying, like, you really should take back what you said about you hope Candace doesn't ruin your mom's sobriety, which I don't know that I agree with. But anyway, and then Mia said something about her mom, and she said she's praying for Candace. And mm-hmm. Candace goes, I don't need those prayers, not from that.
So mom says she's going to pray for Candace. She needs help.
Oh, I don't need those prayers.
She did say that.
Don't need those.
You know, overall, she's good. The kids, she actually has my kids right now.
It's just like, Candace, stop. Like, you've already gone so in on her mom, you know, and you keep claiming, well, I didn't know. I didn't. Now you know the situation. Don't take it to that level.
Right. Just take that extra second to think about what you are about to say. Remember that you're mic'd. Remember that cameras are rolling, and that's going to live on and be a part of how the audience and the rest of the women perceive you.
Right. I do love that Van Jones was being used to throw shade in this reunion.
I did not see that coming.
Trying to figure out who Giselle was dating, and then Wendy being like, Van Jones likes women with integrity. She's like, oh my God.
Van Jones is a fine man.
She's not his type.
She's not his type?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He likes women of integrity.
Wendy also came very prepared to throw daggers.
Yes.
And wasted no time.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's like a hostile start to the reunion, I will say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do think it started out super strong, and knowing we have four parts, obviously we know Nicki Minaj is coming. They also threw us off with that weird video that was very low quality that Nicki sent, which I kind of appreciated. But I'm excited to see the rest of the parts because this one on its own was so strong.
Yeah. I mean, the part that I loved, and I'm curious what you thought, was Andy really... sort of, I mean, look, I will say, ever since I feel like it was the Real Housewives of Orange County, the last reunion, I have felt a shift with Andy in terms of reunions and how he no longer is taking it so easy on the women. And I don't know if anyone else gets that sense, but I do. And just the fact that he was really sort of saying to Candace, like giving his opinion on everything. Because I mean, for him to say to Candace, like, how's that working for you in terms of how her mouth gets her in trouble? And then he brought up the Monique altercation and was like, you were assaulted last season. Wouldn't that have changed how you go about doing what you're doing?
Right.
And called her and said, well, you're the common denominator. And I was like, wow.
How is the way that you respond to people working for you? You almost were physically attacked last year.
So that's my fault that I was physically attacked?
Well, you're the common denominator.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because I think that moment is important because Candace needs to take accountability, but we have to be clear that she isn't necessarily responsible for what others say and do or how they react to her. But she is the common denominator in so many instances over the course of many seasons now. And the way she is navigating this conversation kind of reminds me of Erica. And it's in that way that she's refusing to acknowledge how others are perceiving her, how others are receiving her behavior and the things that she says. And I just want her to take a step back and just be like, you know what? Okay, yes, I get it. I see what you're saying, but I can't control how other people react. I need to be better about how I react to things.
It's sort of like when, and you know, Heather Dubrow, this quote has stuck with me. Like I hear it in my head so clearly. But Heather Dubrow at a Real Housewives of Orange County reunion said to Alexis Bellino, if everyone says you're dead, it's time to lie down. And it's just like the point of like, if everyone is seeing the same thing, don't you need to take that into account? I mean, Candace's own husband is like, you got to calm it down.
Take this as a moment to look inside yourself and see that if everyone says you're dead, it's time to lie down.
Just maybe read the room, girl.
Right. Right, right, right.
It also sounds like Candace intentionally kept Dorothy at a distance this season. And now we have a little bit more information as to why, and it's this issue with Chris. But I wonder if because Dorothy came in so strong at the music video shoot and was quick to talk to Karen and talk to Mia about what was going on and Chris being the husbander and everything, I wonder if Candace intentionally was like, you know what? We need to keep Mom at a distance this season because I don't want it to keep coming up about Chris and this agreement in our relationship for him to manage me, but be my husband, be living here, you know, all of the things that we've addressed in previous seasons. And it seems like all of that effort in that one day of a video shoot really changed everything for Candace and her relationship with Chris and her mom.
Yeah, that's a hard situation. And the crazy thing is that without the show, it's not like I think Dorothy would be any different, but I don't know that they would hear all the shit she talks about them or him specifically.
Right. The show definitely doesn't help.
Right. So it really goes to show how like it can be such a damaging thing. Like, you know, you should not talk that way about your son-in-law, but at the same time, there's a reason other people's opinion of you isn't always your business, you know?
Like, yeah. I want to talk about Giselle for a minute because there's a couple things that came up at this reunion that I think are important to her larger storyline and sort of who she is. Now, the first thing, and I admit I participated in this, but I think it's time we retire the shade around Giselle's taste in clothes, her home design, her home decor.
I know.
You know, it just feels a little uncomfortable at this point.
Right? And you know what it's the way she's now reacting to it.
Yeah.
It's like, you just see her eyes go a little dead and like, it's like, it hurts her feelings.
I know. And it seems so much easier to come for her over the Jamal stuff because.
Which is weird.
I know, but it's the nature of housewives, of course, right? Like we feel more entitled to talk about somebody's relationship than the way that they dress. But it is also just one of those things where, I don't know, Giselle just can't help it in some ways, but a lot of the decisions she makes around other things feels like she has more control over in a sense, you know, that's my way at least of rationalizing it.
I also feel bad for whoever is her stylist. Like they must just cry themselves to sleep hearing all
Cal.
These. Really?
I know he does her hair and they've become very close. I would imagine he probably influences the other decisions that are made. Which I like Cal and I like their friendship, but I don't know, maybe she can just try consulting with someone else for a little while.
Yeah.
But she seems
regardless,
happy.
Maybe we'll start the trend of like, just sort of backing off that for a little
That's
bit.
That's true. Yes. We're curbing that. It's over. She looks great at the reunion. The other thing is, a couple of the things that Karen was saying at this reunion and that Karen has said over the years in interviews with us on the show, in her confessionals, yes, she throws a lot of shade. I think despite all of the shade, that Karen has Giselle's best interest in mind through it all. She was never into the fact that Giselle went back to Jamal, and she was open about that for a long time. Threw a ton of shade about it, of course, because hello, she's the grand dame. But I think at the end of the day, she doesn't want to see Giselle unhappy, alone, you know, without a man, because Karen has had such an amazing run with Ray that I'm sure there's a part of her that wishes everyone could have something like that. Everyone could have a piece of what Karen and Ray have. And Giselle just hasn't found that. And, you know, it's not to say that she won't, but I do think that at the end of the day, Karen cares.
Yeah, I think Karen suffers from this. She's now in a place where she's been hurt by Giselle, so can't make herself fully vulnerable. So instead of saying in a kind way, like, I just never thought you should be with Jamal, she says it in sort of a mean way, you know?
Yeah.
But like, clearly the underlying message is that she does care about Giselle and her daughters, you know, and like wanted the best for them and knew that that was not how they were going to get it.
Exactly.
And at the same time, I do not blame Karen for going in about Jamal's tax stuff because of what Giselle did to her all those seasons ago.
Right. But also, to be fair, could be with Giselle's best interest in mind, being like, girl, you got to lawyer up because right. this could come back to bite you in the ass.
Right. True.
So I spoke with Robin Dixon from Real Housewives of Potomac all about part one of the reunion. We talked about the video message from Nikki that threw everybody off. We talked about Giselle and her fashion, whether we should still be talking about that, and if Robin thinks she has a wall up when it comes to relationships. And also, we touched a little bit on Candace and whether she's held to a different standard than the other ladies. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with Robin Dixon from Real Housewives of Potomac talking reunion part one. Robin, what's going on?
Hey, Eric, how are you? It's so good to be here with you.
I know, it's good to chat with you once again. Before we get into the reunion, I want to take it back a little bit towards like end of season finale.
Okay.
Specifically on the double date with Michael and Ashley, you guys talk a little bit about how Michael hasn't really been around the group that much. Now, have there been times when Juan has wanted to step back from filming, just when maybe there's a lot going on, some craziness in the group?
Do you get that feeling? Yeah, you know what? Juan is like a very low-key, drama-free, like he's an athlete. Like they don't do this, you know, kind of like women's drama stuff. And so he's not really comfortable with the thought of like, going to some group, you know, groups gathering and not knowing what's going to happen
right.
and being like dragged into it. So yeah, like he's always very hesitant to kind of hang out with that group of friends, you know, I mean,
it's funny because I've heard that from other housewives too, just with the idea of showing up to something, thinking it's probably going to go one way, but it can very quickly go the other.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, sometimes I'm like, I'd rather him not be there because if he was there and something was going on, I would have to limit my participation because he would be like right. pulling me away, like Robin, cut it out. And I would be like, leave me alone. So I'd rather not even hear his like, you know, opinion or telling me to stop or whatever, you know, I just,
right.
So anyway, but he definitely, and it's because, you know, I won't say just because, but you know, he's not like an entrepreneur where he's the boss and he calls the shots. Like he has bosses and people over his bosses who watch the show. So he just feels like he has to be a little bit more careful with what he's involved in on the show. So
right. Well, that makes sense. And also in the conversation we see between you guys when you get to the new location where you're going to store all of the embellished stuff and everything, we see him get pretty upset. He storms off, you know, he doesn't want his mic on. You know, what was going through your mind as you were bringing up that conversation, you know, about raising another kid and then seeing his reaction?
Right. Yeah. I was like, okay, wasn't supposed to go this way. Like I wasn't bringing that up to him to, you know, talk bad about the past. I was bringing it up to say, okay, like we have to do better. And in order for me, you know, I was, you know, trying to tell him like, okay, yes, like we can see what happens, you know, about, you know, we can, not that I wanted to like deliberately try to have a baby, but I wasn't going to prevent us from having a baby. And I'm like, look, if I happen to get pregnant, like you need to know, like things have to be different. So I wasn't trying to like, you know, tear him down or revisit the past. So to see him get so, you know, defensive, it was kind of surprising to me because I felt like we were on the same page. But maybe, you know, I guess some guys, it's like, once you've talked about it once, they don't want to talk about it anymore. Or, you know what I mean? They're like, I can say we've definitely talked about it more than once. So I'm sure he's probably like, you know, like how many times do I have to say that, you know, I was young, I regret how I, you know, how I was as a father early on, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you add the fact that we're doing this on camera for millions of people to see. And he's probably like, oh my gosh, now I'm looking like a horrible father. So.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Well, it seems like he wasn't totally hearing what you were saying. You were just referencing the past in terms of what your future together would be if you had another kid. Right. But it seems like he heard the past come up and then that triggered him.
Right. Yeah. He's like, okay, I had enough. Like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And, you know,
I'm out of here.
Yeah. But I was surprised. But I can say, like, he wasn't like, you know, he didn't stay upset. And I kind of know how to deal with him. He's a very, you know, when you've been together with someone for so long, you know how to deal with them. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever, bye. You know, and of course
right,
he comes back.
I'll see you at home.
Yeah.
Now, are there any updates on baby number three that you'd like to share with us today?
No news. I have no updates. You know, I mean, I just, you know, we're kind of not using any protection, and we're just seeing what happens. And so far the fertility gods have not blessed Juan Dixon yet, so
not yet, but hey, you know, just keep trying.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into the reunion part one. Producers really threw you guys for a loop with that video message from Nikki.
Oh my God.
And it was just so funny because it was like low quality and just like, it must have been like, oh, Nikki couldn't send a better message.
Yes. We were literally like, I was literally sitting there like, I can't even get excited over this video. I'm like, what is like, what is she recorded on? Like a Nintendo or something? Like, it was just like, I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, okay, like, first of all, like, she was like, she had like no makeup on. Like, she wasn't even like dolled up for us. She had like low energy. And she's just like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't be there. And I was like, oh, really? I'm like, all that hype that we had, right, like, you know, and this is what we get. I was like, wow. Okay. I mean,
listen, it was all part of the master plan, because as we know, she shows up. Yes. And I mean, what was going through your mind? What did you think when she actually appeared on the stage?
I mean, I was like, I was floored. I was so excited and shocked and floored. And it was like so surreal. And it's like, what the, you know, it's like, WTF, is this happening? Like, it was just so many emotions at that time. It was, you know, I wanted to scream and jump and run and, you know, be like a fan and hug. And but, you know, I have to.
But then you wanted to play it cool.
Yeah,
also,
we gotta maintain our composure. It was so cool. It was awesome. It was just, it was like, just, and it was so cool to see, like, you know, we started the season promoting the show or the season with her song, and for us to like cap the season off with Nicki Minaj, you know, as a guest on our reunion. And that, it was just, it was mind blowing.
Right. It came full circle.
It came so full circle. And especially, you know, for us, like, especially the OGs, like, our show has always been like the little engine that could, you know, like, we started season one and like people were like, where's that? No, I'm not, you know, like we had a little hard time just getting the wheels going as far as, you know, people like really getting into the show. So for us to like sit there in the studio or on the stage with Nicki Minaj was like a total pinch me moment. I literally pinched Ashley. I was like, this is, I'm like, do you feel this? Like, are we alive? Are we awake?
Is this real? Well, I know there are a couple other famous fans of the show too. I know like Rihanna loves Potomac. She's really into Salt Lake City. Is there anyone? Oh, and also I know like Drake follows Lisa Rinna, and Kyle Richards was trying to get Drake to follow her. Right. Is there anyone famous that follows you that you were like shocked by when you discovered it?
No, not really. Not that I know of. You know, Nicki Minaj, she followed us. She followed me in season one. And
okay.
So I knew that she had been onto Potomac from the beginning. So I always knew that. And to me, that was like the biggest celebrity. I can't really think of anyone else. I will say that, last year around Christmas time, Jesse Tyler Ferguson purchased an embellished hat.
Oh my God. So that's so funny. That's cute.
I was like going through like my orders, and I saw this name. It said Jesse Tyler Ferguson. And I was like, there's no way that he placed, like, he went to my website and placed an order. And he sure did. Like, I emailed him because I was dealing with some shipping pre-order issues. So I had to email like a bunch of customers, and I was like, this is really
You're like
cool.
big fan of your show.
Yeah. I thought that was so cool. But he purchased it for his nanny, purchased her a hat for Christmas. But I was so excited about that.
Well, I think he and his husband have a bow tie company, right? So you need to order one for Juan.
Oh, cool. I'll do that. I love that.
Okay, next up at the reunion, please help me piece together exactly what was going on with Mia's plastic surgery. I am so confused.
I know. You know what? I don't know if Mia thought that, like, I feel like that's such a major surgery. Whether you get a vaginal rejuvenation or what do you call it?
I have no idea.
I don't know. A clitoral.
But I know what you're saying.
What I mean? Like if you have surgery on your clitoris, like I looked it up. It's literally more so for people who, you know, like a lot of like young girls in Africa who's had their clitoris mutilated for what, you know, for some tribal reason. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like a really deep reason. And so for me, I was like, okay, it's such a clear difference between, you know, vaginal rejuvenation and a clitoris surgery.
Right. It's not like a cosmetic procedure, so to speak.
Right.
Like if she were getting that, there'd be a more medically related reason she'd be doing
right,
it.
Right. And I would imagine like when you're doing something like that, you clearly are signing papers and reading about it and it never says clitoral anything, you know? So I just like,
right.
I don't know if she was doing it for like shock value or is she like really not that bright, you know? It's like it's one or the other. Either it was for shock value because clit sounds, you know, way more, you know, shocking and intriguing than vaginal rejuvenation, or was it because she's not that bright? I don't know.
Right. Well, I think with Mia sometimes her mouth gets ahead of her brain, you know.
Yeah.
Like things come out before she really thinks through it, and then she is pretty quick to own it later.
Yeah.
On, but you know, sometimes it just moves a little quickly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that's what it is. Her mouth definitely goes a little quicker than her brain, which would imply that she's not that bright. I don't know.
Well, I want to talk about Giselle because there was a lot of focus on her in this part of the reunion too. The first thing, you know, her fashion choices and her taste in home decor have been a hot topic for a few seasons now. And my co-host and I were talking about it and we were like, I think we just need to retire this whole thing.
Yeah.
So as Giselle's friend, do you guys, you know, talk about this? Have you given her advice on anything? I kind of felt bad for her at this part of the reunion, having to defend the things she wears, the way she puts her home together, you know, the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I was sitting there and I'm like, I can't believe we're talking about this again. Like, what? I mean, it was just, you know, as her friend, you know, I'm over it. It's like, it is what it is. Like whether and everyone's style is subjective. Like, you know, someone might like Candace's style and won't like Giselle's style. They might like me and they don't like Ashley. Like it doesn't really matter. So it's so weird. I'm so over that topic. And so no, I don't give her any advice on her style. Like we all know Giselle is very confident. She's a very, like, she does not really care about public opinion or approval. She does what she wants. So I'm not going to tell her, oh, I think, you know, I don't like that sweater. You should pick a different one. Like, I'm not, you know.
Right, right.
Like, if she was to ask me my opinion on something, then yeah, I'll tell her how I really feel. But I'm not, you know, the only reason I would kind of stop and say, oh, you might not want to wear that is if it's like, okay, I can see your nipple, you know, or something. But like, I'm not going to
free the nipple, yeah. Robin, free the nipple.
But I'm not going to sit there and be like, I don't like that sweater or, you know, those shoes aren't cute. Like, that's not my place. And that's not really anyone else's place to tell anyone. It's so weird, but you know, it is what it is. But yes, hopefully we can retire that conversation because.
Yeah, I agree. I think we just put that to bed and move forward and let Giselle live her life.
Yes. Yes.
Well, this mystery man that she was dating also comes up at the reunion. Did you meet this guy? I know she said that she wasn't with him anymore, but did you meet him at the time they were dating?
No, I did not meet him. I know she was like hooked up through another, a person that I know, but I don't think it like lasted. I don't think they went out that many times. So that's nothing to get too excited about.
Yeah, it wasn't anything major. Okay, well, that's fair. Cause you know, you never know. It's always good to hear what your friends think of somebody, but obviously it didn't work out. So, yeah, you know, yeah. It is what it is, yeah. But well, and then there's more conversation too, I think just in regards to, you know, Giselle's relationships and the way that she in some ways presents herself on the show as her friend. Do you think Giselle has a wall up, like not just with this group, but just generally in her life?
So, and that was another, I was like, why are we talking about Jamal again? Like, I thought, you know, I feel like, you know, and like I said on the reunion, it's like, just because she doesn't react the way people want to see her react, which is like, oh, I'm so hurt and devastated. Like that doesn't, you know, I don't really understand like people's obsession with like talking about Jamal with her, as if she's like sitting at home crying in a corner about Jamal. Like it's just, mm-hmm. And you know, and maybe because I'm her friend, like I know that she's not, like, I know that, you know, she's a very like, it is what it is and we're moving on and, you know, on to the next. Like she's always been like that. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with the way she handles her life. It's not that she's being secretive. It's just that in her mind, there's like nothing more to tell. She's saying, okay, like, and she started off season one saying, yeah, I was married, I got divorced, my husband was a cheater and blah, blah, blah. So it's not like she's ever, you know, tried not to, she's ever like not shared her life. So it's just, she's not doing it in a way that people want her to, which,
right.
You know, I don't know. I think people just want to see her like freak out and panic and get upset. And that's why they think they're not getting something from her.
I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was in one of the conversations she was having with her daughters. And I was like, I just want to see Giselle shed one tear. But then I'm kind of like, well, why?
Right. 'Cause
on the other end of the spectrum, I feel like we see Candace crying every single episode. And some people then on the internet are like, well, she cries too much. So it's like, which do we want?
Right.
Do we want someone who is a little more stoic and reserved and maybe in control? And if that is Giselle's coping mechanism is just like, you know, swallowing it and moving forward,
right,
then that's just who she is.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly who she is. And I think, you know, I think when you've been through a major public heartbreak, when she was, you know, married to Jamal, you really build a toughness, you build, you know, a little, you kind of like change the way you handle things. And it's like, you know, okay, I've been through all that. I've been through the crying. And I think it's also a part of like evolving as you grow older. Like she's in her 50s, mm-hmm. She's in her 50s. She's not going to be like crying and upset over a man. Like she's just going to, okay, on to the next, where, you know, maybe if she was in her 30s, she would be a little more emotionally upset. So I just think it's a part of growing and evolving and becoming, you know, a little bit stronger and confident in yourself. So
right. And independent, yeah, too. I mean, if she really values that independence, she's been able to raise her daughters. Her daughters are amazing.
Exactly.
Every time they're on camera, I feel like I learn something more about life,
right,
and dating and relationships. You know, it's like kids are so wise sometimes.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So,
well, let's get into Candace too, because obviously, you know, there's been a lot this season and we get into it in this part of the reunion. My question for you is, do you think Candace is held to a different standard, or does she actually have a lot to answer for when it comes to her behavior? Maybe not just this season, but previous ones as well.
So, no, I don't think Candace is held to a different standard. I think the difference, and I was actually trying to speak up at the reunion, but everyone kept, you know, talking. I couldn't get a word in. No surprise. Right. But I want to.
That doesn't happen on Housewives, right, Robin. What are you talking about?
But I think the difference is how Candace says things. So you can literally take, and I kind of did this in my, you know, I kind of voiced this out myself. You can take Karen and take something that Karen has said and have Candace say it, but say it the way that Candace would say it. And it stings and it hurts so much deeper. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So like, because Karen,
it hits different.
It hits different. Because when Karen says something like, oh, Giselle, you have a hot box and you went to Sing Sing and you're this and you're that. Like, Karen is putting like a, she's making it sound jokey, kind of. You know what I mean?
She's like whimsical in a sense. Yes, yeah.
Where if Candace was to say those same exact words, you know, Candace would hit it really hard. So it's more like the enthusiasm with which Candace speaks and says certain things that I think is what makes it worse. So even like, okay, Candace called Ashley wide body, you know, and the way she said he took your wide body ass, versus if Karen was to say it, Ashley, you and your wide body showed up and you know what I mean? It's like,
that is so true. I love these impressions, by the way. That is true. And I've never quite thought of it like that. It does just the delivery. There's something different about the delivery, when it comes to Candace.
If you could go through everything that Karen has said, everything that Candace has said, flip the delivery and it just sounds so different. So that's my take on Candace. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with maybe just like, you know, youth, like Karen is, you know, she's in her 50s. She's a, you know, wise, sophisticated woman. So she's kind of grown into that where she can say things that really aren't not so nice, but put them in a way where, you know, you're not ready to like scream back at her. Where Candace, you know, Candace has a lot more, you know, enthusiasm and energy and fervor and, you know, it's like all behind it, which it's not necessarily the words. It's like the energy that makes the receiver become more energetic or the people on that who are hearing it. It just gives stuff, it just elevates everything. So
it's like Wendy says, it's rat tat tat Candace.
Right. But she could say, and honestly, it's so crazy. I wasn't offended by when we were at the Reasonably Shady party. I wasn't offended when she said your mama, because it like, I was like, oh, that's a your mama joke. And that literally is like a quick instinctual like comeback. So I wasn't offended.
Old school too, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, are we bringing that back? I don't know.
I had no problem with that. Like, okay. But you know, when you kind of take it deeper and deeper and keep going, and then that's when it got like, it's like, okay, let's reel it in, let's not take it too far. So no, I don't think that she is treated differently or judged differently. I think, you know, she needs to realize that it's all about the delivery and how the delivery sounds to other people and the reaction that it brings out of someone.
Right That's a little bit of what I was saying too in the last couple of weeks. It's kind of about how people are perceiving you and perceiving what you're saying. It's, you know, that's a factor in it too, that I think she needs to recognize.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know you guys also just moved into a new house. I guess it's not that new at this point, but how is the new place treating you guys?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we've been here since August, so, you know, it's still new because I definitely don't have like, you know, my new furniture yet. I've been waiting. But it's been great. It's just been great to like have something that's our own, you know, again, you know, I definitely, the townhouses that we lived in, they really served their purpose. We appreciated them for what they were, just, you know, in our, you know, kind of bounce back transition phase. But it's so good to just have something that's your own, that is your own, and you have, you know, you want to make it look nice and you know, you want to decorated and you want to invite people over. And so it's been really great. Everyone's really happy.
That's awesome. And have you still been working with a life coach? I know we saw you talking with one earlier this season.
Yeah, no, I haven't been working with the life coach. I talked to her like a few times and then I kind of, you know, it's so hard. It's like, we're so busy. I'm like, oh my gosh, like adding a whole nother element, you know, another appointment.
Right.
It gets to be a lot, but I think I got what I needed out of it. I am in a much better place. You know, much more productive, much more motivated. you know, and just feeling a lot better than I was at the top of the year. So
yeah. Oh no. I mean, I think we all are. I think we're all feeling like we're coming out of the other side of something that was impossible to predict, impossible to understand. Yeah. You know, we're definitely all feeling the same way. I mean,
the pandemic, it was so wild because it was like, I remember when it first started and it was like, okay, all right, we'll be here. You know, I'll say, okay, till Memorial Day, this will be over. Like, we'll be fine. And it was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then as the time went on, it became normal. And it was like, that was where it got, you know, that's when it started to get bad. It's like, okay, this is normal. And then, you know, so trying to like crawl out on the other side back to what really should be normal was just really hard. But now it's like, okay, this is, this, you know, life is so much better right now. So hopefully
we can do this.
Yeah.
We can do it. Well, I want to wrap up by playing a fun little game of season 6 superlatives. So okay. I'm going to give you a category, a description, and you tell me who it fits the best.
Okay.
First one, who was the messiest?
I mean, I guess should we give that to Ashley since she just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. It's in her tagline.
Right, exactly. That's true.
Who changed the most over the course of
God,
the season?
Really, you have to ask me that. Is that really a question? Duh, Wendy.
It is.
Wendy.
I think that's fair in more ways than one.
Yes, exactly.
Who was the best dressed?
I always like Candace's style. Okay. So give to Candace.
You can give any of these to yourself too, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
Who was the most vulnerable?
Mia. That would go to Mia because I think what she shared with her, you know, her childhood and her mother, like that takes a lot of guts to share that. So definitely, yeah, she definitely gets that. And I would say Mia's mom. Goodness, like
that's true. That is true. Yeah. I love that she called her mom all through her interviews and like in reference when she was talking about her to you guys. You know, it just like it had that extra little. It was like a little more heartwarming, mm-hmm. even though a lot of the stuff she was talking about was tough.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I really think the show. That's the beautiful thing about the show. There, you know, it can be a lot of drama and all that, but the fact that, you know, maybe the show is what triggered her to even bring her mom around and have this conversation, these hard conversations on camera. Like, this, yeah. I mean, it kind of sucks because, like, you know, as Candace kind of points out, like, you know, this is your storyline, but there's like a silver lining in that.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. Last superlative, who would you say is the class clown?
Oh, that's me.
Fair.
That's me. I just want to laugh and joke and be goofy and have fun. And honestly, I believe this season, you know, probably because of like COVID, like pandemic, we really weren't able to do as much as we would like to. I don't think we saw enough of us just having fun and being silly and goofy. But, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do more of that in the future. That's me all the time. I take nothing seriously. I don't take myself seriously. Everything's a joke. So
we didn't get any pranks this season, right?
I know.
Oh, okay. We didn't. All right. Well, you know, if there's another season, start thinking about what that prank could be.
I know. Okay. I'll start working on that.
Well, Robin, thanks so much for chatting with me today. It's always such a pleasure talking with you. And we're excited to see the rest of this reunion unfold.
Thank you, Eric. Yes, it's going to be great. And, you know, hopefully everyone enjoys it. Of course, you know, can't wait to see Nikki. But thank you, everyone, again, for your support of the show. We love you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Robin. We'll talk to you soon.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
Oh, am I ready? I don't even know if I'm ready.
I mean, I know you've been waiting for this.
I'm ready.
Well, we'll start with not the end.
Right. Let's start with Outer Darkness and how metal that sounds.
Right. And by the way, how insane that like a serial killer has a better chance of, you know, eternal salvation than
Outer darkness is the lowest degree of heaven in the Mormon faith. You have the celestial degree, which is for the tried and trues. Then you have an exception for those that can't make it all the way. That's the terrestrial. That's like your Lisa Barlows, your, you know, people that just weren't valiant in their faith. And then you have the telestial, which is your serial killers, borderline murderers, pretty much awful people. And then you have outer darkness, who are people like me that have accepted the gospel, been married in the temple, made all the covenants, and then chosen to walk away. So, like, I would have to ask Jeffrey Dahmer to get me into his degree of heaven.
I mean, you don't want to ask Jeffrey Dahmer for anything. Come on.
Right, right.
It also made me think about how different Heather must have been 10 years ago. You know,
right, like kind of an asshole, right. It sounds like.
A lot of the things that she was saying just don't even seem like she's talking about the same person. And in some of those throwback pictures that were coming up, especially when she was in the bridal party and had that jacket on over the spaghetti strap, she looked like the actress Missy Pyle. Do you know Missy Pyle?
Yes, 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 yes.
And like the character she reminds me of is the like uptight wife in Bringing Down the House, which I love that movie so much.
Wait, and who's in that?
It's the one with Queen Latifah and Steve Martin.
I was going to say the Queen Latifah.
Yes. And Missy Pyle plays this character who's just like, you know, she marries like an older man. She's more of the kind of Anna Nicole Smith, Erica Jane, I guess, type character. But I just can imagine Missy Pyle playing Heather Gay in a role 10 years ago.
Right. I just think Heather would not have been a fun friend. For right? Sure.
No, definitely not. So let's get to the Italian cooking class, because there's a lot of good stuff in there, obviously, before we get to the end of the episode. What did you think about Mary sending Whitney this more risque costume option compared to the other women?
I think it's like an amazing prank had it worked.
Right.
It's just funny. Like, you didn't answer my phone call. Now you're going to show up looking like an idiot.
I know. And I do wish, because I think Whitney has a really good sense of humor, she leaned into it a little bit more and showed up that way. Because like she said, she had all that stuff in her closet.
Yeah. It's very, I just was like, wow, Mary, like, because I love a prank. And I didn't think she had it in her.
I know. It was a solid housewives move.
Right.
The costume was also very Britney, Me Against the Music, but also Kim Richards at yes, that Halloween
yes,
party.
Yes.
So I was into it. Could have been an opportunity.
I will say, I don't often say this, but Mary had a good point. How long does carpool take? Surely Whitney wasn't in the car for 48 hours, you know?
Right, right. Well, here's the thing. I was texting with a friend just the other day. Texted her on a Sunday, didn't hear back until Monday. She was like, I'm so sorry, read this, forgot to text back, was driving back from DC. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fair. Because we all do that. We're all doing 100 things right. at once, right. okay? And we see a message, we forget to answer. These things happen. I think Mary, her feelings were hurt and she has too much pride to say it. There is something to be said about being a leader of a church. And, you know, I know that you've watched now The Way Down. And
I thought you were going to say, and I know you used to be a leader of a church.
Well, I know that you, you know, after watching The Way Down, and Danny yeah. and I actually just the other night watched Jesus Camp. He had never seen that. And that mm-hmm. deals with, you know, this Pentecostal evangelist type of situation with kids and whatever. So, you know, Mary definitely has an ego. And I think that is part of her position in her church. You have to have a little bit of that. So I think that's getting in the way of her ability to communicate with people. And I think at the end of the day, she just was kind of hurt by the fact that Whitney never called her back.
I don't know. I honestly have no clue as to what Mary's mindset is, because she gets mean. And it really puts in a perspective when Whitney said her cousin was like, never make her mad. It's like, there is something not right there.
Yeah, it's hard to track what's going to set Mary off and what's going to roll off her back.
Right.
You know?
I'm skipping ahead to their trip to Vail. It's annoying how Mary doesn't fully participate either. And it's like, you know what? I'm not going to ride with the rest of you. And it's like, that's not acceptable to me. I think that as a housewife, you need to participate because conversations need to be had and needed to be had after that Italian lunch thing. So it's like, she should have been on the bus.
Now, it was a long bus
ride. They wouldn't have even gotten to the conversation based on what we saw.
True.
But still, you know, it just bothers me.
Okay, so before we get to the bus, one more thought on the Italian cooking class. And it has to do with Lisa Barlow and this situation where she invited Meredith to the kids' fundraiser. She didn't invite Jen. And as a Lisa Barlow stan, I feel the need to defend a couple of these things.
Of course you do.
Right? Okay. So the first thing, and this happened on Watch What Happens Live, you know, Andy asked her a couple questions about this situation. Lisa sort of hinted that Jen didn't get an invitation because Meredith disengages, which is not necessarily something that Jen does. So basically, Lisa's answer to the question was, why did you invite Meredith instead of Jen? Lisa replied, Meredith disengages. So that to me was like, Jen's too much of a liability. She might act a fool, ruin the kids' party. Okay, so that's one thing. Then there was a follow-up question about why, if the kids were in charge of the guest list, if it was Jack and Henry who were doing it, why wouldn't they invite Jen? And Lisa gave this somewhat cryptic answer that was like, you're going to find that out pretty soon. So I don't know if that has to do with, I don't know if that has to do with what we saw in the end of this episode, or if it's something else, a situation that has not come to light quite yet, but there may be some more context around that.
I also don't believe Jack and Henry came up with a guest list.
No.
Like, that is so, like, come on. No. Don't pawn it off on the kids. So do we want to get to the bus ride?
I do.
Okay. I know we've both watched it a bunch of times. Who do you think was on the other end of that phone call with Jen?
Now, there are some eagle-eyed sleuths on the internet who did screenshot and zoom in, and it does look like the call came from Sharif.
And I don't doubt that it could be Sharif. I just wasn't sure if it was. And at that point, what was happening? Was he saying the police are here looking for you?
Quite possibly.
Or was he saying they're coming to Beauty Lab? How would he know that?
I don't know. Unless they showed up to the house first and he was home. That's the only thing I can think of.
Based on what the women are being told, though, Sharif has internal bleeding. And I was sort of like, I would have been Jenny, where I just would have been like, I think we could still go. You know, I think that'd be fine. Like, what can we do? We should just go.
Right. Jenny was like, I planned a lot to be on this vacation, so this bus is leaving with me on it.
When they finally start to see Homeland Security show up, it's interesting that Whitney's first guess was, is this a prank? Because I would have thought too, like, this is so Jen, because like, she just happened to have to leave. And now, you know, there's police here. Like, it's going to be a prank, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but it was not.
It was not. And what's amazing about this scene is that you're just watching basically in real time as the women and production are putting together exactly what's happening. And obviously from the previews that we saw at the beginning, there's breaking the fourth wall. You see the producer come onto the bus and be like, are you guys seriously thinking about not going? Seth throws a wrench in everybody's plans for the day. And just the way it was put together with zooming in on when you see the officers step out through the window and just the whole thing as it unfolded was just absolutely riveting. And I think what was really funny is there were moments of humor throughout that really like added some levity to the scene. And the first thing that I thought was pretty hilarious was how panicky Heather got around the police. She did step off the van, right, and was kind of talking to everybody. But as soon as she saw how many different officers were there, she was like, she laid it all out. She was like, oh, well, Jen said that she was going to the hospital. Like, Sharif had internal bleeding and she left about 20 minutes ago. And like, that's it. You know, like you could tell that she was like, this is legit.
Okay. Two questions. Well, two comments. My first question is, why do you think the officer kept saying, but she's okay, right? We just want to make sure she's okay.
Thank you for your help. We just want to make sure she's okay and talk to her. That's it.
I'm scared of the popo in general, but this gave me pause. This feels like SWAT team.
My theory on that is that they were concerned that somebody would reach out to Jen and tip her off, because if they had already been to the house and Sharif had called her to be like, where are you? They get to this new location and she isn't there. I think they were just trying to position it like they were worried about her. They want to make sure she's okay.
We just want to talk.
Exactly. I mean, their plan obviously was to arrest her. We know ultimately that's what happens. But I think they wanted to be careful about what they said to production, to the rest of the women, knowing that somebody could text her, call her or something. I mean, I don't think anybody would want to risk that, as we see later on when Lisa's like, I don't think you should be reaching out to her.
I was just, that was my second comment was going to be, that was an interesting moment for Heather to be like, should I call Jen? I don't think you should.
I mean,
it was like, wow, like that's, it's interesting, right? Like there's a turn already where she's no longer thinking of her friend Jen. She's thinking about, how could this come back on me? How could this come back on you?
Should I just call Jen and tell her that they just came here?
I don't think you should.
Yeah, it was very clear that Lisa was the first one to fully process the severity of the situation and the first to realize, like, this is not a prank, which I also don't even know if Whitney truly believed it was a prank or if that was a coping mechanism for how maybe nervous she was.
On Vanderpump Rules, there was a moment last season where Jax was pulling a prank that he was getting arrested or something like that. Or it was Sandoval who did. So, I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility. But what I thought was interesting is that no one was like, why would they be here for Jen? Like, no one asked that.
That is true. I think Lisa maybe, or at least from what she said on Watch What Happens Live, and it's similar to what Heather said at the beginning of the season, that they knew things about Jen's business seemed off, but nobody suspected it was illegal. So I wonder if just from whatever Lisa's prior knowledge, her historical knowledge of what Jen's done professionally, if that just clicked for her sooner than it did for anybody else.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so ready to see the next episode.
Well, and I've heard Andy said it himself that the next episode is also as riveting in that, you know, the women are in a van for hours as all of this begins to unfold. And also there's a clip that's already circulating. It's actually a Bravo insider first look at the next episode of Mary arriving to the house in Vail, where Meredith already is. And Meredith's like in a bathtub, relaxing. Mary shows up and they start talking about it. And it's just really funny. And people are already memeing it.
It's Winter House?
Yes, Winter House. I feel like I have to just like take a deep breath and calm down to talk about Winter House.
I know, because right? It's like just a complete change of emotion.
Okay, well, let's start at the top. We are coming back from the double date and Sierra rushes right into Paige's room, which, by the way, can we just appreciate the fact that Paige has spent all of Summer House and most of Winter House straight up filming from bed? Isn't that the dream?
I know. Paige is all of us.
Oh, truly. Okay, so Sierra comes back, hops into bed with Paige, starts talking about how the date went, and she gets really emotional, talking about Austin and her feelings and the concerns that she has. And at this point, I just kind of want to shake the screen and be like, Sierra, retreat. Retreat while you can.
You know how we were talking like this morning and even last night, like I'm just like scared to like somebody. I'm like really scared.
Oh, don't pee. What are you the most scared of?
Like being open with someone and like vulnerable with them and like, I'm just
But that's like such a good quality. Would you rather be the type of person that never finds love because you're so closed off? Like, no.
Right. Well, I mean, I really related to the moment of her breaking down and being like, it's like there's a feeling right at before you get serious about someone and you're like, oh my God, do I want to do this? Like, can I do this? Maybe not everyone. I certainly go through that. Like, and it's almost this panic of like, it's like, I think often about Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian and how he wrote that note or she wrote that note to him. It's like, let's absolutely destroy each other. And it's like, that's what you're signing up for. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's either happily ever after, or it's just immense pain and you don't know which it's going to be. And it's just a very scary thing. And I just loved seeing that from Sierra, but I'm also like, do not set yourself up for this heartache with Austin, because that's what it will be.
Well, right. And I'm also thinking of Paige and what she's going through with Andrea. And I just want to like, let these girls know, like, that we're not on a dating competition show. This isn't The Bachelor. Like, nobody has to get a rose at the end of this trip. You guys.
Yeah. Why is everyone dating? That's the part I don't understand.
I don't know. And I think that everyone should just take a step back, maybe enjoy these 2 weeks up there in Vermont and not really think about everything as leading to something bigger or more serious. And,
right,
you know, not to minimize the way that Paige is feeling about Andrea, because I am all in on Paige. I'm team Paige in the whole situation. And I think Andrea is being a little shady and dodgy and a little bit of a boy, but I think he's representative of a larger problem that so many people face. And that is a lack of transparency at these beginning stages of a relationship. You know, we see Andrea saying all sorts of things to the guys about how he wants to leave the house single and he doesn't want to be serious, but he's telling Paige, let's take this one step at a time, which those are completely different messages.
Yeah, absolutely. And also I do think, I mean, I get where the girls are coming from. Don't take her on a romantic date. Like, what message does that send?
Exactly.
It sends a message of like, because it's not like he's just trying to have sex with her. He's taking her on a romantic date. That sends a message. If you don't start something, you're not ready to finish.
Exactly. A sleigh ride? Come on. If he had been like, there's a happy hour at this bar. Yeah. It's a dive bar. We're going to take a lot of shots and then come back here and have sex. That's one thing. But a sleigh ride? That is
Everyone just got a peek into your Friday night.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that is not the theme of the date you take someone on if you're not looking to be a little bit more serious with them.
I want to switch gears to Julia and Luke.
Yes.
Do you think it's okay to tell someone who is already in a relationship that you have feelings for them?
No, definitely not. And especially not, again, under these circumstances of we are in a vacation house for 2 weeks, just like hanging out and having fun.